Thank you very much for the introduction, and thank you very much for the introduction to my talk by, done by Joel. Before we start, I would like to acknowledge the co-author in this paper, my student Tomer, Maya, Eviatar, and my colleague Moshe that is sitting here in the audience. So since the part of the introduction was already given, I will highlight in two slides the motivation for the study, and this is the irrigation with reclaimed wastewater, at least in the country that I'm coming from. And I will focus on carbamazepine, and I will explain to you why carbamazepine is an excellent model to work with. And then I will show you data about uptake and transformation of carbamazepine by crops grown either in greenhouse, lysimeter, or in the field, in commercial field. And I sure hope to conclude before the time will end. So in this slide, you can see the proportion of irrigation with reclaimed wastewater in Israel in time scale, and currently in the last, I would say, last 5 years, approximately between 40, 45, up to 50% of the irrigation water in Israel is treated wastewater. So we are using treated wastewater as irrigation water, and basically there is no future for the Israeli agricultural sector without this source of water. And this is excellent in terms of water management. However, as has been mentioned before, some residues of active pharmaceutical compounds are still present in the treated effluent that we are using as irrigation water. So this is why we are focusing on carbamazepine. So carbamazepine is a common anticonvulsant drug that is used for the treatment of epilepsy and other disorder diseases. In terms of global consumption, this is not a major drug in the pharmacy industry. Around more than 1,000 tons per year of this drug is being produced. However, this drug is extremely persistent in the environment. When looking at wastewater treatment plants, the maximum removal that was reported is about 20%. And this is not degradation, it's just removal from the liquid phase to the biosolids. In other cases, even negative removal, meaning that the concentration in the effluent is higher than the concentration in the influent, was reported, and this is due to deconjugation of conjugated carbamazepine that is being excreted from our human body. So therefore, it's really stable in wastewater treatments. And therefore, it's not surprising that it's been found and detected in wastewater effluents, and also been found in irrigation water that is using effluents as a source of irrigation, even after long residence time in reservoir. And the concentration is listed here between 0.546 to 1 ppb and even higher than that. Looking at the soil, this compound is also highly persistent in the soil. The residence time is more than 200 days, so it's there. It's been introduced with the water, and it's in the soil for a long period of time. And as I will show you later on, it can be taken up by plant. And therefore, carbamazepine is considered as anthropogenic marker, and it's excellent compound to work with. So looking at the human body, and Joel mentioned that, carbamazepine is been metabolized by different cytochrome P450 enzymes. And what you can list here, those two main metabolites, the epoxycarbamazepine and dedroxycarbamazepine, those are the two major metabolites that we detected and quantified in the crops that we are working with. We were able to detect some other metabolites, but in terms of quantification or in terms of the level, the other metabolites are less than 1% of those two metabolites. So therefore, in my talk, I will focus on those two metabolites. And the values listed here, this is the proportion of those metabolites excreted from the human body. So the dedroxycarbamazepine is about 32% of what is excreted from our body, and also conjugated glucuronated carbamazepine made up about 11%. And our vision was to look at what is happening in the human liver and to apply that to plants in what we call the green liver approach. So the first set of data that I will show you is just a concentration of carbamazepine in root vegetables. On the left you can see sweet potatoes, and on the right the carrots. The green bars are for the concentration of carbamazepine in the leaves. The yellow one is for the roots, and you have it for three different soils. I won't get into information about the properties of the different soils. We do see a trend of uptake as related to the soil properties, but that is not the focus of this study. So you can see the data for the sweet potatoes here and the data for the carrots here. And it's clearly obvious that the uptake by the carrots is higher than the sweet potatoes. Both were exposed to reclaimed wastewater, or the exposure of carbon mezipan was via reclaimed wastewater with a similar concentration in both treatments. And the fact that we obtain higher concentration in the carrots versus the sweet potatoes is related to the root development that has been done gradually during the growing season of the carrots and done in the end of the growing season of the sweet potatoes, and also related to the lipid content in the root of the carrots as opposed to lower lipid content in the sweet potatoes. Another thing that we should take into account is that in both crops, the concentration in the leaves is higher than in the roots, and this is related to the mechanism that carbamazepine has been taken up. It's taken up passively with a water mass flow, and it's concentrated mainly in the leaves. The leaves is the sink, or the leaves are the sink for carbamazepine. But when we evaluated similar set of data, not in soil, but in hydroponic system, we couldn't close mass balance. And we know the carbamazepine is very stable, and it's not been degraded in the nutrient solution, so where is carbamazepine? So the next step was to quantify the metabolites of carbamazepine. And what you can see here is the molar fraction of carbamazepine, epoxide carbamazepine, and dehydroxycarbamazepine in different matrices. So the first bar is for the soil, and as I told you before, it's highly persistent in the soil, so it was not surprising to find that more than 95% of what we have found in the soil is carbamazepine, and very little metabolites of carbamazepine that we are not sure that were actually being produced in the soil or were introduced to the soil with the irrigation water, but it's there. And when we looked at the sweet potatoes roots and the carrots roots, we obtained a very similar trend, although the concentration in the carrots roots was much higher than the sweet potatoes roots. But in general, more than 80 or 85% of what we have found in the roots is the carbamazepine. Very little metabolites in the roots, suggesting that the parent compound has been taken up, and if metabolism is occurred in the roots, it's quite minor. However, what we have found in the leaves was totally different. Now, carbamazepine in the sweet potatoes made up less than 15% of what we have detected. And in the carrots leaves, it made up about 25%. So the majority is no longer the parent compounds, it's the metabolites of the parent compounds. Another point to take into account is that the epoxide carbamazepine is as active as carbamazepine in terms of therapeutic activity. In terms of toxicity, epoxide carbamazepine is much more problematic than carbamazepine. It's even considered to be genotoxic compound. So in that case, what we see in the leaves is quite problematic in terms of risk assessment or risk that is related to that later on, but no doubt that carbamazepine is being taken up, concentrated in the leaves, and is being transformed by the plant. Now we have replotted the data. This is the same data that I've showed you two slides ago, before, and now I replotted the data not only for carbamazepine, but also carbamazepine and the metabolites. And we can clearly see that now the taken up amount or the concentration in the leaves is much higher than what we obtained before when we just look at the parent compound. So the take-home message is that we need to quantify the metabolites, and without looking at metabolites, we are actually underestimating the uptake, and this is very important. We've done similar experiments with other crops, in this case with cucumbers and tomatoes, done in a greenhouse by Maya, our students. And what I would like to point out, this is quite busy slides because we have here three different soils and we have three irrigation water. I won't get into that. We have the data for the leaves of the cucumbers, fruit of the cucumbers, on the right side, leaves of the tomatoes and the fruit of the tomatoes. And you can clearly see that the concentration in the leaves of the carbamazepine was quite similar between the two crops, around between 300 to up to 400 nanogram per gram, very similar. Leaves are leaves, although the crops is different. However, when we look at the fruits, we can see that an order magnitude lower concentration in the cucumbers fruits as opposed to the cucumbers leaves. And this is related to the fact that carbamazepine is mainly concentrated in the leaves. But when we compare the fruits of the cucumbers versus the fruits of the tomato, we can see even lower concentration in the fruits of the tomato, and the scale here is the same, to show you that the concentration here are extremely lower as compared to the concentration here, although the plants were exposed to the same level of carbamazepine, same concentration of carbamazepine. And this goes again to the plant physiology. The cucumber fruits are rich with stoma versus the cuticles of the tomato fruits, which is much thicker and prevents any water loss, and therefore carbamazepine is less likely to concentrate in the fruits of the tomato versus the fruits of the cucumbers. But again, we would like to focus on transformation and not only looking at the parent compound. And in that case, I will show you data about tomatoes from a field study. Again, very busy slide, but I will lead you through that. Again, we have here different types of tomato. This is the Heinz tomato, it's terminated tomato. It's a tomato that has been used to produce ketchup. And we have here data for three different soils, the H, the M, and the L soil. In each one of the soils, we have the concentration in the leaves, in the fruits, in the soil itself. And here we have two other treatments. One treatment that was irrigated with fresh water with application of biosolids. This is a treatment that was irrigated with treated wastewater plus application of biosolids. But what is quite important here is to look that here again, molar fraction of carbamazepine, epoxide carbamazepine, and dehydroxycarbamazepine. So very similar to the data to what we obtain in the root vegetables, in the soil, the majority is still the carbamazepine. Very little transformation product of carbamazepine is present in the soil, in all soils that were investigated. In the leaves, very similar picture to what we have obtained in the carrots and the sweet potatoes. The concentration in the leaves is the major metabolite is the 10-11 epoxide carbamazepine, made up about 60 or 70% of what we have detected in the leaves. But the good news is about the fruits. The concentration in fruits is extremely lower, or much lower, than in the leaves. And what is more interesting is that the major metabolites here is the dehydroxycarbamazepine, this metabolite, which is inactive in terms of therapeutic activity. So therefore, the plant is working for us and basically transformed the drug to an inactive fraction that we can consume later on without any damage to our body. And of course, when we look at tomatoes, we are eating the fruits and not the leaves. So therefore, the plant is working for us. Just a snapshot, I'm running out of time, snapshot about other analysis that we have done with the fruit trees. So we detected many fruit trees. Again, I'm showing you data only about carbamazepine. We have data for other compounds as well. And in that case, we don't see a real nice trend. But the only trend that we obtain is that the concentration in the leaves is much higher than the concentration in the fruits. About a factor in all those fruit trees was about 25, more or less. But we don't see a trend. In some of them, the epoxide carbamazepine was the major metabolites in the peach. In almond, it was not. So we don't know yet what is happening here. But again, we have a concrete evidence that carbamazepine is being taken up, it's translocated, it's concentrated mainly in the leaves, and it's being transformed, and we have to take that into account. So with that, I conclude. So we know that carbamazepine is introduced to agricultural field via irrigation with treated wastewater or reclaimed wastewater. In terms of accumulation in the leaves is much higher than in roots or fruits. Carbamazepine, and not only carbamazepine, has been metabolized by the plant, and we have to take that into account when we quantify uptake. We assume, but we are not 100% sure, that metabolism occurs mainly in the leaves, and this is basically the factory that produced the metabolites. We have evidence to show that metabolites are also translocated in the plants. from leaves to fruits, and maybe from leaves to roots as well. And as I said before, we have to quantify the metabolites in order to accurately estimate the uptake. Otherwise, we are underestimating the actual uptake of pharmaceuticals and other xenobiotics. And with that, I would like to acknowledge the funding agencies and my group, and thank you very much for listening.
All right. We can take one question.
So I'll ask you to go out on a limb on this, Benny. How about human health risks from what you're finding?
I must tell you that we have data, unpublished data so far, that we've done also a clinical trial giving people vegetables and fruits that were irrigated with reclaimed wastewater, and we do find carbamazepine in the urine of those people. So the exposure is there from water to soil to plant to human. What is the health consequences of that? We don't know, but it's there.
Okay. All right. Okay, at the same time.